Chapter 23. God Still Moves Mountains. Getting back to the States, I didn't have much time to prepare for my church's monthly bridge update, which was scheduled for Sunday, February 20th. I decided the update would be the usual 5 minutes, which translated to one typed single-space page. In it, I told of how hard the community had worked in digging the foundations for the bridge and everything we had accomplished during my week at the bridge site. I emphasized that the community was taking full advantage of this opportunity to build themselves a bridge. I then shared the expressed need for additional footbridges near the town of Mattiwas. I introduced a unique fundraising concept I called Vision 2012, with the tagline of 500 people giving $50. Will you be one? My idea was to challenge everyone to spread the need for these bridges to their family and friends so more people could share in the blessings of helping their neighbor in a foreign land, simply enhancing the quality of these people's lives with a footbridge. That night, after I had finished typing the bridge update, I called my dad and told him what had been accomplished during my trip. I could feel the excitement in his voice as I shared a lot of the construction details. As always, he told me how proud he was of me. Before hanging up, he asked if I would come and give an update at his church on a Wednesday night. I agreed, knowing that speaking at Jones Crossroads on a Wednesday night meant having to prepare a 30-minute sermon. I prayed that week for the message to share with his church. I last spoke there in May when I preached the faith message and introduced the Nicaraguan Bridge Project, asking them to pray for the project and me. Since then, I hadn't shared with them any monthly updates or newsletter stories like I had for my church. However, I knew Dad had kept his pastor informed of the bridge's fundraising efforts. In fact, before leaving for Nicaragua, I had personally called his pastor to tell him the story of the 10 $1 bills and how God had revealed his faithfulness through a simple car wash fundraiser. The bridge fundraising had been a huge mountain in front of me and my church congregation. The biggest mountain I now saw was in not only getting the bridge construction started, but seeing if the community could actually build the bridge. Thinking of these two mountains, one scripture came to mind. Jesus answered, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'Go, fall into the sea.' And if you have no doubts in your mind and believe that what you say will happen, God will do it for you. So I tell you to believe that you have received the things you ask for in prayer, and God will give them to you." Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 24, New Century Version. I titled the sermon, God Still Moves Mountains. The sermon included details from my own incredible faith journey over the past year, the search for purpose and direction, the vision God gave to me, the charge He presented me, and my prayer for Him to show me another mountain to climb. The mountain He showed to me was the bridge in Nicaragua, which included not only designing the bridge, but raising the money for the materials. In the sermon, I shared my own fears of stepping out of the boat, of what people would think, and the possible rewards for being a faithful servant. I told the story no one had ever heard, the story of the 10 $1 bills. I concluded the sermon by telling the congregation that all the money was raised and the bridge has now been started, followed by the statement, "Both of my mountains were not only moved, but God smoothed the road across what was left. God still moves mountains." With the sermon for Dad's church now finished, my thoughts turned to the message I would share with the men's ministry at Harmony Baptist Church on Sunday, February 27th. Before leaving for Nicaragua, I had already written the February and March newsletter stories for my church. Since the March's newsletter story told the story of the 10 $1 bills, I felt like I needed to share that story with my cousin, Bill. It was my and Bill's aunt who had given me the card with the money inside over 20 years ago. So the week before leaving for Nicaragua, I went to his house in Richburg to personally share the story with him and his family. I took a copy of the newsletter story that I could leave at their house in case they weren't home. After sitting in their driveway for a few minutes, I went and placed the folder containing the newsletter story on a chair beside the back door. Several days went by without hearing from Bill. Then, the night before leaving for Nicaragua, he called. He said he read the newsletter story several times, and each time he cried, not truly believing what he was reading. He said it was an incredible story and was really glad that I had shared it with him. We talked for over 30 minutes, with me sharing about the mission project of building a pedestrian bridge in Nicaragua. So I was surprised when he called the next day asking me to come speak to his church's men's ministry. I agreed, and at that moment realized that the Lord had now provided two open doors to share with others not only about the mission project, but my faith experiences. After preaching at Dad's church and speaking to the men's ministry at Harmony Baptist, several months passed. In Milosh's last email, he stated that the communities were now gathering stones from all around the town, Matiwas, due to the lack of good stones at the Bulbul River. He also stated that the number of workers from the communities varied from day to day, and that these two problems had greatly slowed the bridge's construction. The project was now well behind schedule. As the project coordinator responsible for getting this bridge built, I knew I needed to get back to Nicaragua and find out firsthand what all the problems were. I had enough vacation and money for one more trip to Nicaragua. I knew the rainy season would start during the month of May, and that getting the steel cables pulled across the river before then was crucial. After looking at my work calendar and the meetings I was responsible for attending, I decided on the second week in May. That night, I emailed Milos with these dates so he could arrange for the cables to be delivered to the bridge site that week and would be expecting me at the job site. What I wasn't expecting was the phone call that week from my cousin, Bill. His first question was, "Tommy, is the bridge finished?" I knew by this question that he was genuinely interested in the bridge project and my mission work. "No, Bill," I answered, "but I'm going to Nicaragua next week to help pull the cables across the river." He continued by saying he had been praying for me and my involvement with the bridge, and again appreciated me coming to speak at his church in February. He recommended a book that he thought I needed to read, "Build a Bridge and Get Over It," written by Dr. George H. Harris. He said the book was about building bridges, and since I was building a bridge, thought I might want to read it. I thanked him for recommending the book and told him I would buy it to read during my trip next week.